All right, good morning, church. She went to the doctors, and the doctor said, you have a month to live. What will you do as a Christian? What will you change? I thought three things real quick. One is we develop a closer walk with God. So again, I'm not as close as to God. I'm going to meet him. James chapter 4, verse 8 through 10 says, draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. This verse really spoke to me this week. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. I was talking to a Christian who was dying of AIDS. He was struggling with drugs, and he knew he was dying. He was in the hospital, and he said, you know, to me, I wish I had a stronger walk with God. And I just had him prayed and say, hey, I don't know how much time you got left. And he only lived a couple days after. But he wished he had a closer walk. Second thing is we would go witness to those around us, right? You figure I only got a month to live. I'm going to go tell all the people that I'm afraid of to witness to. Now think about that, really. Let's do it this week. Let's go witness to all the people that we thought, you know, we've been putting off. We're afraid, get rejected, whether it's a coworker, whether it's family members, whoever it is, right? And the third thing I thought of was we would go and make wrong done to others or strained relationships right. And so when this morning the person couldn't preach, I'm praying, Lord, what do you want me to do? And this past week I've been taking my old Bible, which has fallen apart, and switching it over. And I looked at the book of Philemon. So I want you to turn there. And this is what the whole book is all about. Remember, the theme of the Bible, of course, is forgiveness and restoration. You know, Jesus bringing man back to God. That's the Bible, right? So this book helps us to become a peacemaker. So I want you to really think in your heart, is there strain in relationships in your life, in your home, extended family, work, church? You know, there's people not here today because they're offended by what you did or someone else did. Or somebody else in their family, they're so bitter, they're so torn up inside, they're not in church today. Over this factor, they haven't made things right. And I'm gonna talk about when you do that and they reject it. We'll get into that in a minute. So Jesus is a peacemaker, and he made man to reconcile to God. Let me just put the scriptures up there for you. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Thank God. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To that God was in Christ, reconciled the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses, it means putting to their account, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The word reconcile has the idea to change mutually, has the idea of our condition in God's mind, right? So obviously, talking about we are the ambassadors to bring people to Christ, right? To bring that man to Christ so they could be forgiven. But I want to take it a step further. In any strained relationships that you have, there's a pattern in the book of Philemon how to approach that. And Paul does that, and you'll see that as we unfold it this morning. Matthew 5, 9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. We should be known as the peacemakers, not the troublemakers. Right? Above all, we have the ability through Christ to forgive, but also help people. Right? I really can't believe, I've been a Christian, it's going to be actually 40 years next year, how there is tension between Christians so much in the home, even extended family. I know families right now that they're not even talking to one another. And they're Christians. They know the Bible. That is so foreign That's not being Christ-like. And I don't care how much Bible you know. So let me give you a little background on Philemon. In the Hebrew, the Greek, it's actually Philemon. So Onesimus was a slave, okay? And he ran away from Colossae. Onesimus ran from Philemon. He was a slave, and he went to Rome. And while he was in Rome, he met the Apostle Paul, and the Apostle Paul led him to Christ. He got saved. So now Paul's instructing him to go back and make things right. And I try to find a time frame. Maybe about 5 years had passed. I'm not sure. I don't know exactly. So Paul now writes this letter to him to say to take him back and be reconciled to Onesimus. Now, before I even do that, let me give you a little background on slaves versus the Roman mindset and the Old Testament talk. I wanted to take a lot of time to do this, but I can't. So let me just give you some facts. So the Romans looked at slaves. They would abuse them and use them like animals. They could abuse them physically for minor offenses. This is the Roman point of view. And they could kill them if they ran away. Now, the Old Testament teaching, and again, just quickly, I just have four things I jotted down. As if you had a slave or a servant, number one, you had to treat them like a family member. So people have a big problem with this today. But the Old Testament never taught to abuse people who served underneath them. Everyone has servants, right? If you're in any position, you have people underneath you. And there's principles in Scripture that always have been right. But people serve other people, right? The second thing is they were free during the sabbatical year, Exodus 21:2. So every seventh year, they were free. Number three, if abused a slave physically, they were allowed to go free, Exodus 21:26 through 27. So if you ever abuse them, they're allowed to go free. Fourth, a slave that ran away was not to be forced back to the slave owner, Deuteronomy 23:15-16. Okay? Now, having all that said now, I want to look at three things. The process of bringing about reconciliation, the factors necessary to bring it, and then what's going to be the result. All right, so let's talk about the first thing. The process of bringing about reconciliation. So how do I start this process, this conversation with a person? How do I do it? Number one, or A on your outline, first comment on their service for God. Look at verses 1 through 3. It says, Paul, a prisoner, of course he was a prisoner in Rome, it's about 62 AD, of Jesus Christ and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. And he says, to our beloved Apphia, and most believe that's the wife of Philemon. And Archippus, most believe, is the son of Philemon, who now is pastoring the church because we'll see another in verse 23, the other person who was the founder of the church was with Paul at Rome, and we'll get into that later on. All right? He says, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. So let me stop there for a second. Up to about 200 A.D., people met in homes, but after the 3rd century, we see that people met more in buildings. Because some people say, oh, we're not supposed to ever meet in a building. They met in history. They actually met at Solomon's porch, not just in homes. So be very careful. I get these people who are extreme. They start picking and choosing, or some people become hyper-dispensationalists. Well, we don't go by the book of Hebrews because of that. You've got to be very careful. So the first thing is, and Jesus did this when he talked about the 7 churches. He first would say, hey, I know your works. Look, you're doing some really good stuff here. But then he addressed the issue. So when you first approach somebody, you know, you should, don't flatter them. Don't say things that are not true. But go after something that is true and it's good. Right? I remember about 30 years ago, I had approached this guy and he was letting me stay at his house. So the first thing I said to him, man, you're so compassionate. Thank you for letting me stay here. I really appreciate this. And then I had to go to the issue. But this is a pattern. Use this, it works. All right, the second thing is reaffirm your concerned and care for them. Look at verse 4. He says, I thank my God making mention of thee always in my prayers. Wow. Paul prayed for many people daily. Let me give you a couple other scriptures. If you go to the epistles, it's crazy. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. Wherefore I also have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. What a great testimony. Could I say that about me, about you? I cease not to give thanks for you, mentioning in you in my prayers. Philippians 1, 3 and 4. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. 2 Timothy 1, 3. I thank God whom I serve in my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers day and night. So praying for somebody shows that you care. So my question to you and I is, who do you pray for every day? Or who do you don't pray for every day? It shows that you care. Lord willing, next week, finish up the message on personal revival. You're going to see the signs of personal revival. And if they're not there in your life, we need personal revival. And one of them is prayer. Right? Did you pray for me this week? I hope you did. I hope you're praying for, you know, I had this Christian guy come to me and he said, you pray for my son more than I do. And that's a shame. I want you to get back. Like, I thank God for you. I make mention of you in my prayers. Let's get back on depending on God, because that's what prayer is, right? I love to receive a text that says, hey, Pastor, I'm praying for you. Don't you love to receive a text, hey, I'm praying for you. Like, what can I pray for? All right, the third thing is, point out their prior compassion demonstrated to others. Look at verses 5 through 7. So he goes even deeper here. He says, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. He's actually setting him up here. He's saying, look, you have this love towards all saints. Not Jesus, but all saints. That the true communication, or the idea that there's partnership, thy faith may become effectual. And that word has the idea of active or powerful by the acknowledge of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have a great joy and consolation in thy love, because thy bowels or thy heart or the compassion of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. So we see in verse 6, it is the power of Christ living through him is why. That's how we affect people, right? Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. See, God gives us the power and the desire to do anything. That's why he gets all the glory. Right? God's love is unconditional. The only way we can love somebody unconditional is through Christ. You can't do it in the flesh, because as soon as somebody hurts you, you do not want to love them back. So in verse 5, he's kind of setting him up. He says, you have this love towards all saints. Our pride does not want to forgive people. If you hurt me, I'm not going to forgive you. I was talking with a Christian who was going astray, and I said to them, I know you have a heart for God and you really want to serve God. And the person says, Pastor, I really do. But they're struggling with drugs. It's like I talked to that guy last week when he professed Christ. I don't know if he did or not, but I just shared the gospel with him. And I said, can you overcome crack by yourself? And he said, no. And I said, you got to go to rehab then for 30 days at least. You got to get off crack. Some people can stop those things, renewing their mind, having some accountability. But some people are so addicted to whatever they're addicted to, they just need to go and get some accountability and get off of those drugs. All right, so the process of bringing about reconciliation, first comment on their service for God, reaffirm their concern, and then point out their prior compassion. So now the biblical factors to bring reconciliation. And the first thing is, there has to be real biblical love must be the motivation. Watch what Paul says in verse 8 through 10. He says, "Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin," and that word means order or command you. He goes, because I'm an apostle, I can command you to do this. He says, that which is convenient, and that means befitting or becoming. He says, yet for love's sake, I'd rather beseech thee. So I'm urging you, not because I'm the apostle. I'm urging you for God's love's sake, as one as Paul the aged, again, elder statesman, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I beseech thee for my son, Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. Of course, he was in prison. So he led him to Christ. That's what it's talking about in verse 10. Every year, the motorcycles go by. I remember that. So Paul didn't want to strong-arm him. He wanted him to forgive based on God's love. And it's like this. You ever tell your kid, you know, they're fighting with siblings, all right, ask your brother for forgiveness. All right, I forgive you. And it means nothing, right? I mean, you are teaching them the principle. I get it. But ultimately, if you don't forgive somebody based on God's love, you haven't forgiven them. Right? Not just because it's the right thing to do. So genuine forgiveness can only be granted by biblical love, right? 1 Peter 4:8 says this, and above all things have fervent charity, it means love, among yourselves, for charity or love covereth the multitude of sins. There was two military guys, they went out to a party, and they got drunk, and they're driving home, and they got into a car crash, and the guy who was the passenger died. And the father of that person went to the driver of the car and went to him and said, I forgive you for what had happened. And that man became the son that he killed, all because of that biblical love that he forgave him. Right? I mean, you've heard stories about that, a pastor who his son was shot and he went to the prison and ministered to the guy, and he became his son. So it's only through forgiveness, the power of God's love, can that be accomplished, right? And remember, if you have trouble forgiving people, it goes back to understanding how much God loves you, that you extend that. So biblical love is not earned. It's unconditional. But trust is earned. See, people have a problem with that, but not forgiveness, right? We trust God because he's faithful, right? So last week I was talking to this guy again, and he was falling into self-pity, saying, oh, my parents don't love me, blah, 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 blah. So, and he was going on and on, and I said, okay, wait, let me ask you a question. Have you stole from your parents? He goes, well, yeah. You stole stuff from their house, right? So they don't want you to live in their house. I mean, that makes sense. Right, but to you, it doesn't make sense. You attach that, if you love me, you let me stay in your house. And I said to him, look, if I tell you a lie right now, I have to tell the truth 20 more times for you to believe me. So trust is earned, but not forgiveness. It's unconditional. We got it. Unconditional, we have to give it. Does that make sense? Yeah, because it'll destroy us, right? So forgiveness is so powerful. D.L. Moody was asked by his daughter-in-law after he was dead, what was the main thing that you remember about D.L. Moody? And she said how he asked for forgiveness. And she told a story when the kids were younger that they let all the horses out, and it took him forever to go get all the horses and bring them back to the barn. And he was so mad. Yeah, D.L. Moody got mad too. But he went up to them and he asked them for forgiveness for getting so mad. Now, she could have said, hey, he won thousands to Christ. But it wasn't that. It's being Christ-like, right? So the biblical factors. First, there has to be biblical love. It must be the motivation to forgive. Second, understand that reconciliation profits all in the end. All right, pick up in verse 11. Says, which in time past who was to thee unprofitable, but he says, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him that he, that is my own bowels, whom I would have retained with me. He says, I would have kept Onesimus here, that in thy stead he might minister unto me in thy bonds of Christ. So he's saying, look, just like you would minister to me, he's like ministering to me, but without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. So he's saying, I don't want it to be forced. For perhaps, therefore, he departed for a season from him, that thou should receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother, beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in thy flesh and in the Lord. So the word Onesimus actually means profitable. So Paul is saying, look, the best solution for everyone to be involved, all win if you would reconcile with him. Now, probably all of us in this room, one time or another, have been hurt by someone. If you haven't, you will be. There's going to be odds in your home to other people. It's going to happen. But I exhort you is to seek restoration, not isolation. And a lot of people, they know that something's going on, but they don't want to address it. That's unbiblical. And let me hold your finger here, and I'll take you to the passage. Go to Matthew chapter 5. Jesus addresses that in Matthew chapter 5. He says this in verse 23. Therefore, if thou bring the gift to the altar, here he's talking about you're coming to worship, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee. Now, you may be innocent. You may be saying, oh, I did nothing wrong. He says, leave there thy gift before the altar, go thy way, and first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer the gift. So even if you know, I'm just looking at Jerry. I know Jerry, man, he's kind of treating me funny or something's going on. It's like, oh, maybe I need to go talk to Jerry. Now, sometimes I go and say, Jerry, what's that? He's like, what are you talking about, man? But then sometimes there is something, and you don't even realize it. I remember one time, a long time ago, I walked out here, and somebody saw me, they turned their head, and I'm like, what was that? And there was something in there. And somebody had said something that I said. I hate that. They said, oh, pastor said this about you, whatever. I'm like, man, it's not true. If it was true, I'd just say it was true. Don't do that, please. So immature. Go talk to the person yourself. But now, verse 25, say you are guilty. Maybe you caused this problem. He says, agree with thine adversary. Here he said, don't let the humans take it. Don't go to a judge. Try to settle, He says, while there are in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver you to the judge, and the judge deliver you to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. He goes, you let it keep going on and on, the consequences are going to be greater, he's talking about. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. It's a fourth of a British penny. He's just basically saying, it's not going to end well. There's going to be more and more consequences as you let this thing go. There's going to be more division and more division. So when you become a member of the church, remember, if you signed this, do you remember this? The first one is I agree to the Constitution, but the second one is I promise as a believer in Jesus Christ to always go to a brother or sister in the church personally if there's tension between us without gossiping or causing strife among the brethren. If the situation cannot be solved together, I will make the pastor aware of the situation to help bring restoration. Man, I wish every church member would live by that in every single biblical church. But it's not the case, right? We usually go, I'm looking at Colette. Colette's like, so many people go to her with stuff. First of all, as a matter of fact, let me just say this. Go to God. Go to the person. If you can't, then get a person to come and help. I have no problem with that. But if you've been a Christian a long time, and I told this kid last week, I'm telling, you've been a taker of your family. This is a guy who's hooked on drugs, and I'm trying to get him out of this whole mindset. You've been a taker of your family. Stop, get out of the self-pity. There's principles right here that you just ask Christ to forgive you. You could forgive your parents. You could understand how God loves you. Now you're gonna start loving as God loves you. Don't start putting on all these other people. Stop being a taker. Let's start being a giver. Right? In your relationships. You're always looking to get. No, look to give. You're going to be so happy. It's not the other way around. And remember he said here, you know, he said, look, he departed you for a season, but man, you're going to receive him forever. Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God or called to, according to his purpose. I have seen people who have been at odds, and they come back with this biblical process, and they're stronger than they ever been, than they were before. Yeah, I've seen couples are stronger than they were when they're totally reconciled. But I've seen people not do this process, and it ends up in a mess. And the pain continues on. Now, those people who are in the process involved, what do I tell them? Look, and just say, look, you got God's principles. You're just going to have to deal with God's principles for yourself, even though it's never going to be right. All right, the third thing. So real biblical love must be the motivation, understanding that reconciles prophets to all. And then the third thing, this is very important, verse 17, replace yourself in that situation with the other person. Look at verse 17. He said, if thou count me therefore a partner, he says, watch, receive him as myself. Whoa. So we need to just change places for a second. When I do counseling, I say, okay, you know how somebody says, oh, I didn't say that. Yes, you did. You said this and this. Well, I didn't really mean that. Right? Just put yourself in the other person's shoes, how they were thinking, what was going on. It helps you become a little more gracious. Now, I'm not saying what they did was right, wrong. But Paul makes a really strong statement here. He basically says, Philemon, would you forgive me if I did this to you? And you know, he would say, yes, I would. Paul, of course I will, Paul. He set him up. Biblically. You would forgive me, right? See, here's our problem. We have people in our life that are very beneficial to us. And so we'll forgive them because there's benefits to come along. And I know if I stay at odds with them, ooh, I'm going to lose this, this, and this. But then somebody else is like, ah, if I never talk to them, I don't care. Have you ever thought that in your head? Yeah, if they get out of my life, I don't care. So I'm better off for it. That's not biblical. Now, I'm not saying, look, things happen in people's lives and you may not be their best friend anymore. I get it. You don't have to be. But you still have to be Christ-like. Because the root of bitterness in you defiles many. Right? Hebrews 12:15. Troubles you, defiles many. So Paul is basically saying, you know, you would forgive me, right? You must forgive him. Romans 5:8, but God commended, demonstrated his love toward us while we were yet sinners. Right? I counseled this guy who was molested by a relative, and that man was dead, but he still was so bitter at him, and I said, it's destroying your life. I'm not saying what he did was right, of course not. But you got to finally forgive him as you have been forgiven by Christ to be set free. All right, D. So here's, the factors. Biblical love must be the motivation. Understand that reconciliation will profit all. Replace yourself with that situation. And then be willing to bring, watch this now, restoration if necessary. Restitution. Look at verses 18 and 19. Paul takes it a step further. He says, if he hath wronged thee, or, you know, been unjust, or oweth thee aught, put that on my account. Call this imputation. I, Paul, have written it with my own hand. I will repay it. Right? He stole from you, right? I'll pay it all back. Howbeit, I do not say to thee that how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. So apparently, Paul brought him to Christ. Now, I tell you what. Paul basically was saying, I'm willing to pay. And I wrote out this down. I said, you and I must be willing to do, give up, get rid of whatever it takes to bring reconciliation in a relationship. You see, it's one thing. This is a big, huge step forward. This is like, now I'm going to give up. What do you mean I give up? You are wrong. I'm waiting for you to come to me. Paul says, no, I'll even pay everything you lost. So I thought about it in a marriage setting. So if Linda says to me, by the way, Linda went they had a funeral and they're going to the house, the 5-year-old that died. They're in a farming accident, the husband and wife together, and the child got caught underneath something. And he works at UNH as a painter. So they're having a service. Linda is finally talking to her and ministering to her. So pray for her. They're going through a great loss. So she's going to their house today to minister to her. So, but say Linda says to me, honey, you know, this really bothers me. And, you know, it's a strain in our relationship. I gotta say, I'm going to stop doing it. Give it up, whatever I got to do. Right? Come on, when I hear people say, oh, I'm not going to ask them, I'm going to be a better husband or wife. I'll get this long list, and you're going to make me do this, you're going to make me do that. I mean, if they're unreasonable, they're unreasonable. If they're reasonable, you're going to be better off. Remember this passage. Whatever it takes, I'm going to do it. I'm not talking about taking abuse. You know, sometimes over this past 5 years, I've seen marriages fall apart, and I'll say to somebody something, and someone will come here and visit, and I'll be preaching about, you know, stay in your marriage, whatever, and the person won't come back because they were abused, and you said stay in every marriage. I always get accused of different things. Like, I never say take abuse. But a lot of marriages are just unhappy because they're not doing these things. I'm not talking to someone who's beating you. I'd be the first one to call the police, okay? So, but if we would take these principles and really live them, we would show Christ to the world. Every, like, work situation, all these situations where people are talking behind others' back, doors by, but if we did these principles, we show totally different. We show Christ to the world. So, what do you do when you try to reconcile and they don't want it? Okay? Hold your finger here. Go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And let's look at verse 17. It says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much that lieth in you, live peaceable with all men. You only can control your side, right? Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will pay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, what do? Feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So you kill him with kindness. I'll give an example. There's a neighbor here. When we were doing the kitchen, they were calling the building inspector, doing this, or doing it. And we were going right by the code. How far the thing was from the building. We did everything by the code. And the person would call me up. I said, to the building inspector, you know we're doing everything by the code. You know, they say, they've been in there at 6 o'clock in the morning. They're lying. Like, we started at 9. Like, we knew. And today, what I try to do is just shovel that guy's sidewalk. I try to give him gift cards. I just always say hi to him. I just kill him with kindness. Based on this passage. Matthew chapter 5, verse 40. If any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. These are powerful scriptures. Now people don't want to, see, we don't want to go to these places because, like, whoa. It's their fault. They did this. I'm waiting for them to come. I don't know how many times I've heard that. I'm waiting for them to come to me. I just showed you that's not biblical. God's word is so awesome. All right, so we'll end with this. So what's the results of reconciliation? Look at verses 20 and 21. Joy and refreshment to all. He says, yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. See, it's only in the Lord's principles. These are all, do you understand, in the Lord, as the Lord. All those are very important. If you do it his way, having confidence in thine obedience, I write unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do, watch what he says, more than I say. So what is that? Maybe he'll come to the point and say, you know what? I'm going to let him go free. Not even come back and be a slave. Do more. I'll tell you what, when I see someone forgive another person and bring reconciliation, it brings so much joy. Right? Who in this room hasn't had tensions and different things happen? Vic and Elena. I love you guys. You know, they've had, you know, and this is nothing, I'm not going to give any secrets away, but they have their struggles, like everybody has had struggles, but you know what? They're rough around the edges, but they come back together, they love each other. So in the beginning of the service, they were really cozy, and I went, hey, wait, remember, this is church, guys, and they all laughed. They're not perfect, but you know what? They come back together, they work it out. Let's read the last few verses and we'll close. He says, but withal prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. So he's hoping he's getting released from prison. He's going to come and visit them. And then he says, you know, salute these. There's this message. Send greetings to these people. Epaphras, and most believe, he was the founder and the pastor of the church. My fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. And then Marcus, that would be John Mark. And Aristarchus was a convert from Thessalonica. And then Demas. Remember Demas? He's funny. He greets him here, but later on he forsook him, remember? In 2 Timothy 2:4, right? And then Lucas, that would be Luke the physician. He wrote the book of Acts and Luke. My fellow laborers, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you in your spirit. I can't help, and I'll just end with this, is that you look at Jesus having this mindset, right? He, no doubt, Jesus loved us, and that was the motivation that he died, so we could be reconciled, right? Jesus knew reconciliation of man back to God was the best solution. And so he replaced himself. He left glory, took on shame, all of those things, so you and I could be reconciled. So he went beyond, he gave up to bring reconciliation. And sometimes we're going to have to do that. But but most of the time, I'm telling you, it doesn't happen. People are just saying, I don't want them in my life. I'm done with them, blah, blah, blah. I tell people, though, do some people have problems with everybody? You kind of start looking at yourself. If you're having problems with everybody all the time, there's something wrong. And I don't mean to be mean. But what a great picture of reconciliation. Let's use these principles. So we, you know, obviously we're supposed to reach people for Christ, but beyond that, let's have strong biblical relationships with one another. And there shouldn't be a person saying, I'm not coming to church, you know, because Carmen said something to me last week. And it's all a bunch of babies. Stop being babies, really. Deal with this stuff biblically, and let's move on. Every time a spouse, your child says something, you'd be breaking up every time. Like, Immature believers, they struggle with these, but as we grow, it shouldn't be. We have the tools. Father, thank you for your grace and your mercy and your patience with us. As your word says, if you mark iniquity, who would stand? No one. Thank you for this unconditional forgiveness through Jesus Christ. And with no one looking around you here today, those watching, listen, the first thing is you need to be reconciled to God. And you can't do that yourself. You need to go through Jesus. He is the only way to salvation. You can't get to heaven by being good, doing anything. You got to repent from what you're trusting in your sin and receive Jesus only. Because the blood of Jesus is the only thing to take away your sin. So if you've not received Christ, been born again, please come to him today. And if you're a believer, hey, do you have odds against somebody right now? Or maybe there's issues that you're just not even going there. Maybe it's in your home. Maybe it's in the church. Maybe it's at work. Maybe it's a, hey, just try to use these principles. And if the person doesn't want it, you have to leave them with the Lord. But keep your heart pure. Don't get bitter. Right? Still unconditional love. And keep moving forward. Overcome evil with good. Let's not get caught up into the world and its philosophies. You know, yesterday, Lord, you saw I was driving, and I was in the lane to go straight, and a lady was going in the lane to go left. And she goes straight, and then she's beeping the horn at me. And I was so weak and so tired, and for a second, my flesh wanted to go at the stop sign and get out and tell her she was wrong. But then my spirit said, let it go. Father, you are so gracious. We thank you for your unconditional forgiveness. May we extend it and we show Christ to the world through how we treat one another, love one another. Thank you for the gospel. It heals the brokenhearted. It gives us the power to live life in joy, not being burdened. So please change this place from the inside out. Please continue to bring revival that ultimately you would receive glory and honor, and souls would be saved. Christians would be stronger, joyous, all of those things, Lord. Pray for all those who have strayed away that you'd bring them back. Thank you for using us as we surrender to you in Jesus' name.